Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. Well, let's start off with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We just ask, Lord, now that you just help us to understand truths, Lord, that can change our lives, change our outlook, empower us to be the children of God that you've called each of us to be. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon this time. Open our ears to hear, to receive from your Spirit and your Word this morning. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been going through a series here of Follow Me. First time we got together, we talked about, will you trust him? Second time is, what in the world has you? What is this world tempting and keeping you from him? The third one, we discussed how it wasn't we found him, he found us. And then the last one, we talked about the need to be broken, which comes to your assignment. Did you actually think about that? God has a plan for your life. And the need to be broken. And we gave you a scripture too to look up and just meditate on Hosea chapter 10 verse 12. But today's message is called Open the Door. And if you will, turn with me to John chapter 1. And we'll look at another calling of some disciples. Or I should say a following of some disciples. Yes, you're straggling. Is that what you said? No bunny ears. John chapter 1, starting at verse 35. Again, next day, John stood with two of his disciples. Who is this? This is John the Baptist. Two of his disciples, who were they? No, one was Andrew, the other one we believe was John. So two of his disciples, what's a disciple or learner? Someone that is being taught intimately, John the Baptist. But if you remember something, John the Baptist said something earlier. What did he say? He said, when he saw Jesus coming toward him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John and Andrew must have heard him say this. Now look at the next verse. 36. It says, "And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' And the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus." Now, why? I mean, here he is. He's come and he's speaking truths. John the Baptist, he comes out from the Old Testament and he's just like, wow. I mean, it's just something like even now we long for a voice of God. We long for these things. And here's John the Baptist. And he was a wild guy. I mean, camel clothes. I mean, that must have itched. Ate locusts and honey. I mean, he was full of fire. In fact, he said earlier in Mark's gospel recorded that he sent a messenger. And what did he say? He said, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the Baptist came in the wilderness baptizing repentance from sin, turning people's hearts from sin to God once again. And we know the history of Israel. It's been kind of up and down throughout their history that they would follow God, then they would fall away from God. So John the Baptist came again to not just call really Israel, but humanity, if you will, back to God and to acknowledge something. It's a sin issue. Jesus goes on to say, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies." It's a heart issue. But here, if you will, John, just for discussion, and Andrew, being with John the Baptist, listening to his message, hearing him say that, "I am not the one. I am not the Messiah." So there's something more. John would go on to say, He's coming, and he's going to, I baptize you with water, but he's going to baptize you with fire. Whose sandals I'm not even worthy to tie. So all of a sudden, here he comes. Picture John and Andrew standing next to the Baptist. Now, span out. See all the people around them. All these people desiring to be close to John the Baptist. Now zero in. There's John and there's Andrew. They're close. But see, there's something longing in their hearts. Something more. And Jesus comes and John says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And what do? They heard him speak and they followed him. Seems kind of creepy, doesn't it? Seems kind of weird, too. What did John the Baptist think? "Hey, wait a minute, guys, where are you going?" No, he understood. But then, pan out again, and you see all these people around John, around this, all this excitement, and yet here's this figure walking through this crowd, no one really knowing who he is except for one. And then the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God." John and Andrew immediately start following him. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek? What is it you want? What is it you desire? What are you after?" We have to start, consider that ourselves. What did you come here for? I don't know, was it because of me? What did you come here for? Does it give you peace for a moment? Does it refocus your thoughts, your mind, your heart? What did you come here for? When you pick up your Bible, what's your purpose? Who are you? What are you? What are you doing here? What are you seeking? See, that's a question we all have to ask ourselves because it's important to what comes after. Jesus says, "What are you seeking?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, translated teacher, "where are you staying? Where are you abiding? We want to come with you. We want to come into your home and we want to learn of you. We want something more in life. We're hurting. We're longing. There's a desire inside us that we can't figure out, but it's a desire to know God, and yet we don't know how. We've listened to the teachers, and they've taught us the Word of God, but there's something lack in their teaching. There's not experience. There's not power. There's not purpose. There's just do's and don'ts. We want more. We want to know you. Everything about you. I want this longing in my heart to finally be quenched. What is it that drives man? What is it that everything that he desires to experience, that brings him to that edge, to want to know what is more out there? What's beyond the veil? What experience can I touch on? Can I experience to open up other doors, to make me feel validated, to feel something, to be? To mean something. That's what they're doing. They're like, "Where are you staying? Are you him? If you're him, we want to know you. We want to know everything about you." Jesus said, "Come and see." It's a word that means come experience. What if I said that every Sunday? Come with me and experience God. Come with me and experience so you can have answers to those questions that you feel that torment you. That you don't know where you're going, where you've been. You don't even know who you are. You don't know what you want. Just think if people knew what they want, how much more at ease this world would be. But nobody knows what they want. They take thinking that will satisfy, even if it's from you or me. But then they realize that's not enough, so they'll take more. they experience all these exciting things, you know, drugs, whatever, alcohol, sex. And then they realize that's not it either. And yet they get on this treadmill, if you will. They get on the squirrel cage. It goes round and around and around. And wanting to experience life. Wanting something more. And yet finding it empty. And yet, you know what? If you really want to be honest with yourselves, you too, and me, myself, and our Christianity, and our faith. Are you satisfied? Do you sense a place of peace? Place of meaning? Are you still longing? As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul thirsts for you. You are my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My soul longs for you to be near you. And yet he tells us, I'm not hiding. In fact, really, Jesus goes on to say something else, and you're very familiar with it. But here he's telling John and Andrew to come experience something, but you're saying, but if I was there, that would be it. I was about ready to say that'd be the gas, but that'd be really agey, wouldn't it? But that'd be really cool, or what, epic, or whatever the word is nowadays, I don't know. The ultimate. Whatever. Yeah, I wish he would come by. But here's the thing that's scary and yet exciting. Because for each of us, nobody excluded. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then you too have something that I have. And vice versa. We have a guest. He's standing at the door. You know the scripture. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in and sup with them. Have fellowship with them. See, in the culture then, it's to eat with somebody is to really get to know somebody. Sit down, take your time, converse, talk about the things of the day, talk about the things of your heart. Talk. And yet, what Jesus is saying here is, I stand at the door and knock on your heart. But what is the heart? Well, simply, the heart is the control center of who we are. My mind can think something, but it's the will, the heart, the desire that pushes, that decides, that deliberates. It's my heart. Ooh, good catch, huh? Did you see that? Want me to do it again? No, I got to do it again because if I drop it, I'll break it. I will, yeah. Thanks, Gabe. Gabe knows me. But the point is, again, is that he desires to what? Do you want to open your heart to everything you desire to experience in Christ? Are you tired, really sick and tired of trying to experience things in this world and really have Christ come along? That's what we do as believers. Come on, Lord, we're going to go this way. I'm going to take this job. Lord, I'm praying if it's your will or not, but I think it's probably best for me, so I'm going to take it. And it's hit or miss, really, a lot of times for us. Why? Because we don't really get to the heart of the issue. What's the heart of the issue? Well, it's right here. What is it? See, he knocks on the door of our control center. Who we are. Our past experience. What we shall experience. And what we're experiencing even at the moment. Whether you feel sick. Whether you feel bored. You feel lonely. You feel hurting. All these things. He stands at the door and knocks and says, let me in. Just as this thing too, as we see him walking through this crowd, it's not like he's forcing anybody. It's not like he all of a sudden pushed John the Baptist aside and said, I'm here. That's what we would have done. We would have found the highest hill and said, hi people, it's me. It's the one you're looking for. John was here to send to point to me. John, go ahead and point. There you go, John. I'm here. That's what we would have done. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus just quietly walked through the crowd. And then the Baptist, who was sensitive to the Spirit, said, "Behold, there he is. Him that the whole world has been waiting for. That we could all put our hopes and our trust in." Remember, that was part of our assignment. Can we trust him with everything? And we say, yeah, I trust him with my car, I trust him with my house, I trust him with my children. We can say that, and that could be a part of it, but that's not all of it. That's not even really a tip of it, because what he desires, gang, is this. He wants in the heart, if you will. It's the pilot seat. He wants to take complete control. But remember, it's not like he's pounding on the door. "Let me in now, or I'll huff and puff and I'll blow this door down. And then I'll rule, and then you'll see what it means that I rule and reign." No. It's not like God. He's so gentle with us. He just gently knocks. He says, "Let me in." And we may let him in a little bit. But see, the heart is who you are. The heart is a very protective place. You know, you've been hurt. You've been hurt by others. You've been hurt past experiences. You've been hurt when you've trusted somebody and they let you down. You've been hurt even by God in your mind because he didn't come through with certain things that you thought you should have gotten. But all that needs to be reconciled with the truth. The truth is that he desires to reign in who we are. Our essential being. Where our emotions are. Desires. Where we're afraid and we build walls. No more separation. See, he did take the sin away. But we still hold everybody back. And the one that we desire, truly, it's kind of a really, it's an oxymoron. We want him, but yet we push him away at the same time. Want and push. And yet the reality is for us to find rest, for us to find peace, for us to really enter into a relationship with him, is to let him in all the way. All of it. Control center. I'm not my own. I'm his. Until each of us really learn that and open it and leave it open, again, we're just going to be just touching the outskirts of what it means to be in a relationship with Christ. Until he reigns and becomes Lord of all of our hearts and lives, then again, we'll just know him as Savior, but we'll never have rest here. That's scary. Maybe he'll send you to Africa, Gabe. Zeke, maybe he'll send you to the inner cities. Or worse, maybe you end up being like a farmer. Or a construction worker. Or somebody punches a card at a time clock and watches time go by. See, we think of the physical. He thinks of the internal. He thinks of who we are. Knowing everything about us. Wanting to change us. For the better. For the best. All of us. That he stands at the door and knocks and says, "Give it all to me." Because only then are you really going to be at rest. Can you trust me with it all? With your emotions, with your desires, with your decisions. Everything. See, he wants everything. We're not alone. See, he's given us his spirit. Isn't that interesting? We're our worst enemies. He's given us his Holy Spirit. We became born-again Christians, and his Holy Spirit now resides in us. And it's that longing, and that whispering voice that says, let him in. Let him have it all. Stop denying it. And it's just our decision to willingly open it up and allow him to search our hearts and to know us and to change anything that he desires, anything that he wants. But it always goes back. Can you trust him? Or is it more or less, I might not want that. So I have to have this out to be in control. And yet, is any of us really in control? Please show me somebody that's in control, because I would love to meet that person. In fact, if you look at the world, you can see that nobody knows where they're going, but people sure are going fast. Do you know that everything in the universe is going really fast? We're spinning really fast. We're going around the sun really fast. Our universe is going around really fast. Aren't you glad he's in control of that? And yet we're really afraid for him to take control of our lives. Remember what he said to his disciple? Come and see. Come experience it. Come and learn of me. From meek and lowly of heart. Gentle. Not forceful. Really, it's a simple truth, and yet it's something we all battle with. But to have true, pure, essential Christianity is to let him reign in our hearts. All of it. Everything. That's how we experience him. So, this week's assignment, open the door. Open the door. And you find that hard to do, ask him help you to open the door. Don't think about the past and what he hasn't, you think, came through, because that's irrelevant. Because that's not true. Because during those times, if you're really honest about it, you didn't let him reign. And if you did, you didn't like the outcome. So you somehow in your mind think that he didn't come through, where he actually did. But did you submit to it? So just one simple thing. This week, open your heart and let him reign. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. Simple, but true. And Lord, all of us struggle with this. We think we have control, and yet we have control over nothing. We just ask your blessing upon your word and your truth this morning. We pray that we would have the courage by the power of your Spirit just to open the door and to fellowship with you, to experience you in a new, ultimate, beautiful way. And that is to know of you as Lord. Lord, will you reign in our hearts starting this morning, this moment? Reign in our hearts and take control. Lord, you know our past sins and you have forgiven us. You know our past experiences, Lord, and you have healed us. You have a plan and a purpose for us in our lives. We have tried to cultivate the ground by breaking it up, Lord, realizing that we're hurting and we're lonely and we're empty apart from you. And now as your Spirit again pricks our hearts, Lord, we long for you and to have a deeper relationship with you. And by the grace that you have given us and by the authority of your word and the truth therein, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would come into our hearts and reign supreme. And it's in Jesus' name, Father, we do ask this. Amen.